Amen. You know, we sang a song earlier, which is Power in the Blood. And so Jesus said, you got to say this, tell them what you said in the first service. And what I said was that our desire is to be so filled with Jesus Christ. I mean, how many people want to be filled with Christ? And the reality is that, you know, there's a truth to being filled. And the truth with being filled is simply being focused on the things of God, the focus on Jesus himself. And so what I said was, you know, we want to be so filled with the blood of Jesus that when we get bit by a mosquito and that mosquito flies away, it's singing power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Amen? And that may be a silly example of what I'm talking about, but really that's what I want to really address today, that the focus, our focus is on Jesus. And as we focus on him, every other situation is going to be dealt with in our lives. Pastor Bob, spoke to me just a little bit earlier, and he told me that he found an old tape recorder, a cassette tape recorder from the church, and they were getting ready to throw it out, and so he decided to take it home because he had some cassettes. That doesn't surprise me, Bob, but he had some cassettes, but he said there was a cassette in it from way back when, and it was a message that I had done. And it was on being a doer of the word. How many people know that it's easy to be a hearer of the word, but it's so much more difficult to be a doer of the word? Amen? And so I want to be faithful in being doing the word and not just teaching. And so I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes with me and just believe that God is in the house. And even those that are on listening in the invisible audience, that God is present because you're present. Because you're there, he's there. And that he wants to meet your needs, whether they be emotional, whether they be of the soul or physical. And I just want to speak to some issues that I believe God wants to deal with this morning. You know, and again, I was praying for a word of knowledge, and one of the things that God showed me as I was sitting and waiting to come up here is that there's somebody here who's dealing with a knee issue. And so if that's you, you're dealing with a knee issue, and I believe it's a left knee. Just raise your hand. Just say, hey, yeah, that's me. I'm dealing with a knee issue. Anybody here? Anybody here? Amen. I see that hand. Okay. Just keep that. Right. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I believe God is speaking to you, so I want you to stand up. Just stand up right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. And then I know this is the same word that I gave this morning, but I believe it applies here as well, is that there's someone here that has a hip issue. You've got a hip issue, and you've been looking to God to heal your hip. So if that's you, I just want you to, again, just say, yeah, that's me. I want God to touch me in the area of my hip. Amen. Would you please stand, please? Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And I believe there are people in the invisible audience. Listen, I believe in the invisible audience because I believe in an invisible God. But I know that my invisible God can touch this world. Amen. He can touch this world. He can touch you in the area of your need. Hallelujah. You know, and just a third thing I want to touch on is that this is someone here, I mean, it's dealing with a broken relationship. Just now, just over this weekend, a broken relationship. If that's you, you're struggling with a particular relationship, then again, I just want you to just by faith, just stand up and say, yeah, that's me. I need God's touch on that area. Amen. Anyone here? Anyone here? I'm not giving up on you. Don't be shy. But be bold and courageous. That's what it says in Joshua chapter 1. Well, perhaps they're out in my invisible audience. Amen. If that's you out there, then I just want you to stand up right where you are. It may be in your living room, in your TV room. But right now, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I see that. Heavenly Father, right now, I just stand in agreement with these that are standing, Lord, that you want to touch them, that you want to heal them, that you want to restore them, that you want to make them whole in every sense. And Lord, they've taken a step of faith by standing up and saying, yes, Lord, that's me. I need a touch from you. I need agreement in prayer that you're going to deal with my, whether it's my knee, whether it's my hip, or whether it's that relationship, that you are in charge because I am giving you full control in those areas. And so, Lord, I thank you for your healing, because we know Jesus even said, he said that, you know, let them see the kingdom is here by healing. Heal them that they may know the kingdom has arrived. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you have a word, Dee? I know it. I asked my wife to just pray about getting a word of knowledge for.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, God. Jesus.
I believe there's someone here with back problems. And it's just not, you know, like usually when you have a back problem, it's all the way up here. But it's actually lower than that. It's like down in here. And if anybody here that has that, can you please stand? Thanks, Mary. And if you're at home and you have that, I would like you to stand. And I would like you to take your hand, you too, Mary, and put it on exactly where that pain is. And we're going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just praise you and thank you, Father God. Father God, I believe that you can heal. I believe that you, when you sent your son, not only did he die for our salvation, but he also died for our health. He had died to give us complete healing. So Father God, right now, I just lift up every back pain in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. God is good. You know, when we come to church, it shouldn't be just about hearing a message, but it should be about God doing a work in each one of our lives. Amen. You know that, and you know, some people believe that, you know, that healing passed away when Peter, or let me put it another way, that healing petered out when Peter petered out. Hey, nothing could be more untrue than that. God heals today. But we need to be men and women who will say, yeah, I'm claiming that healing. I'm not ashamed to stand up. I'm not ashamed to say, I'm putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to do what no other person can do. You know, you may come to a situation in your life where the doctors have all written you off. Well, I can tell you there's one doctor, Dr. Jesus, who will never write you off. Amen. And it's a shame when we have to come to the end of the situation or desperate situation. We need to learn to come early. Amen. When we come early, God is still there. Amen. He's always there on time. Hey, I'm gonna talk to you about something. The title of my message is the gospel. And I'm going to talk about that for a second. And the gospel is the kingdom. And what we find is Jesus said that I came to preach the kingdom. You know, he doesn't say I came to preach the gospel. He said I came to preach the kingdom. And the kingdom is simply where God is. Amen. Can we agree? Matter of fact, I can even give you a definition. And the kingdom is described as the kingdom of God is the realm where Jesus Christ reigns as king and God's authority is supreme. This kingdom exists here and now in the lives and hearts of the redeemed. Amen. Do we have any redeemed here? Amen. Amen. We're redeemed. Amen. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it now lives in the hearts of the redeemed as well as in its fullness someday in the future. Hallelujah. So the kingdom is where God is. I know Pastor Carl likes to use the term the presence. You know, we want to experience the presence of God. And when we talk about experiencing the presence of God, what we're saying is that we want God to touch us. It's not just intellectual stuff. We want God to minister to us and reveal, give us, spiritual revelation of truths that we find in the Word of God. Back in the 90s, when I really began to move in pastoral ministry, we used to talk about the anointing. You know, the anointing of God. The anointing of God, the presence of God, the kingdom of God are all the same thing. Exactly the same. It's simply where God shows up. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't use the anointing of God. Jesus didn't use the presence of God. He spoke about the kingdom of God. And so I want to just emphasize how important it is to understand what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom. And the scripture today, the theme scripture, if you will, is Matthew 6:33. It's such an important scripture. And it says, and Jesus tells us, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Just to give you a little context, that section of scripture in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about, you know, we spend so much time worrying about what we're going to wear. We spend so much time about, you know, what we're going to eat. We spend so much time about, you know, providing shelter. And all those things he knows are important. You know, I'm not saying they're not important. They are important to us. But the point is, he's saying, don't focus on those things, but focus on the kingdom. Focus on his righteousness. His kingdom is where he is. And guess what? You know where his kingdom is? It's right inside of you. You are king. You are in totality, all together with all the Christians around the world, represent the kingdom of God. And he operates in his kingdom. He doesn't operate outside the kingdom. He operates inside the kingdom, but his kingdom has an impact upon the world that we live in. You know, I know there's some people that are talking about, well, the end must be near. You know, we're looking at the times, looking at rumors of wars and the difference in political theology. And that's what I call it, political theology, because politics for some people is a religion. But listen, all of that stuff is insignificant compared to maintaining our focus upon Jesus. Because stuff is going to go on around you. But nevertheless, we need to be focused on him. Amen? Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so like I said, it's easy to hear the word, but it's sometimes more difficult to actually do the word. And Jesus referred to the kingdom as the gospel. I'm sure you know, the word gospel simply means good news. So the kingdom is good news. So wherever the kingdom is, you're going to see miracles. Wherever the kingdom is, you're going to see healing. Wherever the kingdom is, you're going to see restoration. Wherever the kingdom is, you're going to see God moving in his power and his authority. How many people know he's got power and authority? Amen? Hallelujah. He's got more power and authority than any of us here. And yet we try to do things in our own strength when we need to learn how to lean upon him. We need to learn how to lean upon him. We need to learn how to focus on him. I was talking about the righteousness. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And, you know, when I was a new Christian, I thought seeking his righteousness meant that I had to do it. You know what I mean? I had to learn how to be right with God. Listen, I don't need to be right with God if God is right with you. You understand what I'm saying? You know, righteousness is not something that you can generate. Righteousness is what Jesus Christ died for. Jesus died so that his righteousness would be imputed upon you. Now, that word imputed is not a word that we use in English all the time. But that word, the idea is that his righteousness is on you. So when the Father sees you, what does he see? He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus in your life. And Jesus says, hey, this one's mine. She's mine. He's mine. And so when we talk about righteousness, it's not about a behavior. You know, should we act like Christians? No, we should be Christians. You know, it's not about acting like a Christian. It is learning how to be a Christian. And the way we do that is we focus on him. Back in the day when I was in the military, I got moved around in a number of different places. And here's what I discovered. That when I was in a certain location, I would hang out with a certain group of guys. And it wouldn't be long before I became like them. I began to talk like them. I began to act like them. I began to be involved in the things that they were doing. In other words, my being involved with them caused me to become more like them. Now, when that group left or when I had to move to another location, what I found is I found another group of people and I became like them. See, in the same way, if I focus on Jesus, I'm going to become what? Like him. You can't avoid it. You know, there's no struggle. There's no effort involved. You know, Jesus is not interested in rehabilitation. He doesn't want to remake you. He wants to destroy the old self and bring in a brand new. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says that, the Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says that we are new creations. Can say that with me, new creations. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. You're new. Spiritually speaking, when you accepted Christ, you became a new creature. And the object of that relationship is that what's on the inside is going to work through osmosis, if you will, if you like that science term. I'm just trying to impress you a little bit. But it's going to work, and it's going to work from the inside to the outside to produce the behavior that you're seeking. Now, is your behavior important? Of course it is. Because it's all part of your testimony. And so the righteousness, when we seek his righteousness, what we're saying is that we want to be in right relationship with him, because when we're in the right relationship with him, guess what? You do the right things. It just happens. You know, you don't have to struggle with what's right, what's wrong, because you're so intimately involved with him that you do the right things. Now, how do you get intimately involved with him? Hey, you need to get into his word. I know this is a practice among Christians that slowly seems to be fading away because of the ease of referring to things on your tablet. I have a tablet here, you know, on your phone, whatever it might be. But there's a loss of connection to the Word. We need the Word. You somehow have to find the time, find the energy, find the space to devote time to be getting into the Word. And if you're going to get into the Word, the best place to go is in the New Testament. You need to know what Jesus has done, what he is doing, and what he shall do in the end times. His righteousness, his kingdom. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. A lot of people are afraid of the word preach. Don't preach to me. Ever hear that? Don't preach to me. Has anybody ever said to you that you should be a preacher? And you went, ooh, no, I don't want to be a preacher. I'm terrified. I don't want to be a preacher. You think that what I'm doing up here is preaching. Well, in a sense it is, but what does the word preach mean? The word preach simply means to announce. When Eric was up here and gave some instruction about some of the activities and a little brief message on the tithes and the offerings, what he was doing, he was preaching. He was announcing. He was informing. He was telling. That's what preaching is. Preaching is simply telling or announcing. Does that, if somebody said to you, no, I want you to tell someone about the church, or I want you to announce this at this location about the church, would you have a problem with that? Probably not. But if somebody said to you, I want you to go over here and I want you to preach about the church, I want you to preach about this event, you know, we struggle with the word preach. You are called to be preachers. Every one of you. Every one of you is called to preach. Every one of you is called to announce or to speak about who Jesus is to you. Because there is power in your testimony. There's power in your words when you're speaking about the things of God. Here we go. Getting too quiet. I need a rowdy brunch. Okay. Repeat after me. I am a preacher. Was that so hard? And now what makes you a preacher is that you tell others about what God has done in your life. See, God is not looking in general. God is not looking for theologians, you know, people who split the words in the Bible and make them. No, God is looking for people who will simply share what Jesus has done in your life. Jesus has done phenomenal things in my life. He's changed me. I'm radically different. I am not the same person as I was in 35, 40 years ago. I know that's hard to believe. You know, you think, oh, he's such a nice guy now. I wasn't such a nice guy. And I think a lot of us have that same testimony. God has changed us. We're not the same person that we used to be. We need to testify of that. We need to tell others that there's hope for them, because if God can fix you, then God can fix them. But if we don't speak, then there's no testimony. And if we don't testify, then there's no power being released by our testimony. You know, there is, I'm going to use this word intrinsic. There is intrinsic power in your testimony. When you share about Jesus, there is a power that goes with that sharing. You may think, you know, oh, well, I'm not a good speaker. It has nothing to do with being a good speaker. You know, oh, I don't have a very large vocabulary. It has nothing to do with your vocabulary. It has everything to do with what God is doing with your testimony, with what you are sharing. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and I know it's a familiar scripture to you, but Jesus says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be what? Witnesses to me. And you go throughout the world. Well, you can't go out throughout the world until you go through your neighborhood, go through your family. How sad it would be when you announce to someone that you're a Christian, that they would go, no, you're not a Christian, because they never knew. Well, how are they ever going to know you're a believer unless you testify? Now, I'm not saying you should go to work and stand up on your desk and start preaching to the congregation or that's there. But what I am saying is that you can find opportunities. God will give you opportunities. Simply share. Hey, I had hip pain. I went to church Sunday. I had hip pain, and they prayed for me for hip pain, and now my hip pain is gone. That is a powerful testimony. Because when that individual who may be an unbeliever goes away, may be skeptical and doubtful, but when they're going through a situation, they're going to say, hey, I know someone who knows God. I've seen that happen time and time again. You're preachers. Or are you? Are you just taking in, and not letting it out? You know, I think of your testimony, it's like a seed. Your seed. The power to grow, is it in the seed or is it in the dropping of the seed? No, the power to grow is in the seed itself. And so when you share something about your life, and it doesn't have to be dramatic, it doesn't have to be grand, it doesn't have to be spectacular. You know, I'll give you a personal testimony. I used to attend these meetings, you know, they were called Full Gospel Businessmen's Dinners and Breakfasts. I don't know if anybody remembers that. That goes back quite a few years. But what they would do is they would get someone to give a testimony. They would share their testimony. And then they would have a lunch or a breakfast afterwards. But the thing is, I can remember as a new Christian saying, you know, I wish I was like those guys. You know, they were delivered from drugs. They were delivered from alcoholism. They were delivered from all kinds of bondages. You know, they were, you know, wife abusers. You know, they were thugs. They were bank robbers. They were killers. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had that stuff in my life. You know, so that, you know what I mean? So I could have a testimony. You know, it'd be impressive, you know. And then I began working in the school district. And what I found is that most of the people I worked with were not those kinds of people. And so what I found is that my testimony as a person who was not a thug, you know, who was not a gangster, who was not a bank robber, who was not a killer, who was not a... Listen, I connected with them. I connected with them because I wasn't those things. But those guys who were given a testimony could connect with people who were struggling with those things. You see, God has given us all a testimony. And you may think your testimony is not very powerful, not very significant. Let me tell you, to the person who needs to hear your testimony, it's powerful. But so often we're intimidated. We're afraid because we might make a mistake. Listen, you cannot make a mistake in God. If you're willing to share what God has done in your life, you cannot make a mistake. You know, look at what the Apostle Paul says. Now, the Apostle Paul was written like like two-thirds of the New Testament, an incredible preacher, if you will, other than Jesus, King Jesus. But listen to what the Apostle Paul, and I want you to listen carefully because they're not going to put the words on the screen, but this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul says some very, very revealing things that we need to really grab a hold of if we want to be blessed by this message. And he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimonies of God." In other words, what he's saying is, you know, my speech was ordinary. I didn't come with like the old time preachers. They have a style. You know, praise the Lord, Holy Ghost is in the house of the Lord. They have all these sounds effects and these old mannerisms and then they get out the hanky and they're moving that hanky around. And listen, what's important is the word. Not the style or the demonstration, but what's important is the word. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm just coming with ordinary words. I'm coming with ordinary words. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's all I need to know. Jesus died for me. He died for me so that I could be free. Not free to do anything I want, but so that I could be free to serve Him fully. And then he goes on to say, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hallelujah. There's power in your testimony. You have a testimony because there was a day when you made a decision to accept Jesus into your life. You have a testimony because perhaps He's healed you. Perhaps He's delivered you. Perhaps He's done things in your life, restored relationships. You have testimony after testimony. You know, your testimony is His peace in your life that the world seems struggling to find. See, you have a testimony. And the testimony is what changes people's lives. But you have to be willing to announce it. You have to be willing to share it. Or as the Bible calls it, you have to preach it. You have to preach it. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:11. And it says that meaning you and I, we overcame him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, that first and foremost, and by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives to the death. By the word of their testimony. You have a testimony. You have a testimony. God wants you to share that testimony. Just share it with one person. You see, I know I'm up here and you may think I'm a very outgoing person, but my wife will tell you, people who really know me will tell you, I'm really quite an introverted person. And I have to take a step of faith to share my faith with others. Even though I've been in the ministry for however long I've been in there, you know, been a believer for over 40 years, I still struggle with the right time to say things and to the right people. But nevertheless, we need to be doers of the word. We need to be men and women who are not afraid to say, hey, I'm a Christian. You know, in our culture today in the United States, it seems like there's a bias against Christians. Well, we need to be part of those, that group of people that push back on that bias and say, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. That's your testimony. Jesus gave it all for you. He's just asking you to share your testimony. Because he loves the person next to you. He loves the person who works near you. He loves the student, you know, that you go to school with. He loves all those people who don't know him yet. But that becomes your ministry. That becomes your charge. That becomes your mission. To just simply share. It's easy. How many people would agree it's easy? Okay, so a lot of people haven't put their hands up, so you must think it's hard. Hey, it's easy. But that's what being a Christian is about. Being a Christian is not about going to Bible school and Bible studies and learning the Word and over and for 40 years. There comes a time when you take what God has given you and now you begin to bring it out. You release it. Dee and I, we do a Bible study on Thursdays, every other Thursday with a couple in Wappinger Falls. And we just moved into the book of Joshua. You know, we're doing one book out of the Old Testament and one book out of the New Testament each time we meet. And in the book of Joshua, in case you don't remember, you remember just before that we have the five books of the Old Testament, and the people of Israel are on this side of the Jordan River, and they're about to cross the Jordan. Moses, who led them for all these years, passes away. He dies, goes to be with the Lord. And so the next in command is Joshua, and that's what the book of Joshua is about. It's about a person by the name of Joshua who has now taken leadership over the nation of Israel and has to bring them across the Jordan River to claim the land which God has given them. One problem, there's people in that land, and they don't want to give up what they have. And so in the first chapter, God says this to Joshua three different times. He says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Then a few sentences later, he says, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. And then a few sentences later, he goes, Joshua, be strong and courageous. And when I used to read that back in the day, I thought that what he was talking about was courage in the sense of being brave. You know, I want you, you know, there's an enemy over there, and I want you to show them how tough you are and how strong you are and how powerful you are, and you're a mighty man of war and so on. That isn't at all what God was saying. What God was saying is, Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous because I'm going to do some things that's going to require you to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to do some pretty remarkable things that you think are totally impossible, and yet you need to be strong and courageous and trust me and do what I tell you because I will bring you the victory. Come on, can you see the difference there? You know, we're called to be strong and courageous, but not in a I'm going to say, I might get myself in trouble, but there's a show on Amazon Prime called Jack Reacher. Guys, you know, ladies probably don't know what it's about, but maybe some of you guys do. And, you know, this guy, I mean, he's strong and courageous in a very physical way. That's not what God is asking for. I mean, I'd like to be like that guy, but don't get me wrong. But the point is, what he's saying is that I've called you on a journey. And that journey is not just sitting, becoming a couch potato. That journey is an adventure. There's a verse in Daniel that says that those who know their God will do great exploits. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for people who know him, and of course he knows you. And the way we do that is we seek the kingdom, we seek his righteousness and the kingdom, which is a kingdom of power and authority, and we pursue that, and we trust God to speak to that person over there, to speak to this person over there. Not to pound the Bible on the heads, but just, hey, you know, I was praying. How about this? You know, I was praying, and I thought of you in my prayer. And I prayed for you. Now, that person is going to do one of two things. They're going to say, oh, you know, I'm going through a thing, you know, and I need prayer. Or that person's going to go, thank you. See you in a couple of weeks. And they walk away, and you may think, oh, well, nothing happened. Hey, listen, there is power and authority in the seed of your testimony. That person may walk away, but they're never going to forget what you did. And when they go through a crisis, when they realize the crisis, they're going to come to you late at night, like Nicodemus did to Jesus, and ask you about things of the kingdom. And you can tell them about things of the kingdom because you're in the kingdom. And as Paul said, you don't have to be, use flowery words. You don't have to memorize all of the scriptures. You know, you don't have to quote, you know, chapter and verse. You can just tell them about the love of Jesus and what he's done in your life. You don't have to rehearse what he's done in your life. You know what he's done in your life. But all he's asking you to do is to be brave and courageous. Come on, are you brave and courageous? Amen. Brave and courageous. Now, I'm going to deputize you all today as preachers. I wish I had prepared a little certificate I could give you, you know. But not a preacher in the comic sense, but a preacher who's simply announcing the kingdom. Just telling others about the kingdom and what your Jesus has done for you. See, I can't give a testimony about my wife's testimony. You know, that's just a story when I tell you about her testimony. But her testimony is her testimony. My testimony is my testimony. Your testimony is your testimony. And never think of your testimony as being insignificant. Because remember, there's the power of the Holy Spirit intrinsic, embedded in that word. Your job is to plant the seed. God's job is to cause the seed to sprout. Amen? Are we good? Preachers, you can start addressing each other as Preacher Tom and Preacher Harriet and, you know, get used to it. Because that's what God's called you to do, to announce, to call, to proclaim the goodness of God and what he's done in your life. You know, some of you, God may call it to become Bible teachers. That's a different thing. But he's called us all to share our testimony. Because God loves that person who's running away from God as much as he loves you. And sometimes you have to remind yourself that I was that person at one time. You know, when the word was preached to me, I was running from God. You know, I was an atheist. I mean, you're saying, what are you doing up there? No, I was an atheist. But the old man is dead. And the new man loves the Lord. Amen? And the new man or the new woman inside of you loves the Lord. You know, I don't have time, but I would encourage you to take a look at Galatians chapter 3. Let me do that. We don't have another service that we have to run into, so I'm just going to take an extra couple minutes just to read some verses to you. Because this is what you need to realize. This is an expression that I used to hear back when I was a new Christian. I'm a kid. I'm a king's kid. You are a king's kid. You are a child of the king. And if you're the child of the king, I mean, there's nothing the king's not going to do for you. But this is what it says in Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to pick up with Again, I would just encourage you to read the section over yourself, but I'm going to pick up with verse 25. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I realize when we talk about sons of God, we're also saying, you know, sons and daughters, because in a previous verse it says that God shows no distinction between men, women, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, all are the same in him. So for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Oh, here it is. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And then jumping into chapter 4, it says in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba, that's Hebrew for daddy. Daddy, Father. He did that for you. You are sons and daughters of the King. You are King's kids. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. God is still good even at the end of the service. Sometimes we hear things that challenge us, and I hope it does challenge you. Just talk to one person. I know some of you talk to dozens of people about the Lord, but I mean, if you've not done that, just talk to one person. Let them know that you don't just go to church, but that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you are redeemed. Make them jealous. Make them jealousy. Provoke them to jealousy. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all the people that showed up this morning. Thank you for the people in the viewing audience. Lord, I just ask that you would just release that anointing or your presence, or as we like to say now, the kingdom, into every circumstance that we have here in this building, in the individual homes in the audience. Lord, that you would just release a fresh washing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would help us to become bold and courageous. We know that being bold and courageous is our job. Our job is to walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes the things that we believe that you're saying to us, that we feel that you're revealing to us, are just so bigger than we can imagine, that we often want to pull back. But help us not to pull back, but to step forward, to be bold and courageous in believing that you are in control of all things. And so, Lord, I thank you for each man and woman here. I ask you to just bless them, heal them, fill them, whatever it is that they need, Lord, that you would touch them and make them whole. And as we close, I just want to open up the altar to anyone who needs healing in their body. Jesus said that he came preaching the kingdom, but he also said that heal them that they might see the kingdom. The kingdom is demonstrated by healing. It's not just by the pastor, but it's by every single one of you can lay hands on someone and pray for them and believe for healing for them. And so if you need prayer this morning and you want, Dee and I are up here, we want to pray with you. We want to pray the prayer of agreement that God will meet you wherever you need him to meet you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, we're here to